Hey guys, welcome back to the Music That Made America podcast. My name's Jacob, and I'm here with my two co-hosts, Noah and Jordy. How are y'all doing today?
I'm good. Well, not very good, actually, but...
After a month, our last episode was Eddie Van Halen. If you want to go check it out, please do so.
And happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving.
It's actually pronounced Happy Thanksgrilling.
Okay, anyway, today we are doing an episode on the legendary B.B. King.
Yep.
Word.
All right, so first, let's hear a little bit from our sponsor. All right, so he was born into a sharecropping family in 1925 in Idabena, Mississippi. His full name was Riley B. King. His parents were named Nora Elland Albert and Albert King. As a child, he played the guitar and was introduced by prominent religious figures to gospel music.
So already we have, you know, an introduction to the music, even though he was a child, and now, like, after covering so many people, it's not, like, you know, it doesn't sound as impressive. It's still impressive, especially at the time, because guitar wasn't really mainstream, I guess you could say.
All right, cool. Afterwards, he began playing on street corners for money.
We forgot to mention that his mother...
His mother and his grandmother died at the age of 10. So that's unfortunate, and that means that he was on his own, so he really didn't have anyone to go to. And after that, he had to begin playing on street corners to get some money. Okay, sorry, my bad. He joined St. John's Gospel Singer as a singer and guitarist, and eventually he had a goal of wanting to visit Memphis, where his cousin lived, because his cousin was named Pooka White, a great blues musician.
Yeah.
Yep.
And he's got it in the family, you see? I mean, even though he lost part of his family... You can see that it is in his DNA that he would be good as a musician.
It's very sad, but impressively, he still picked up the pace, I guess you could say. At the age of 15, he was all alone and had no money, and he had to hitchhike to Memphis. He cashed his first smell of success on the WDI radio in West Memphis, and he performed weekly.
WDI.
Incredible, by the way, just the fact that at the age of 15... He was ready, you know, he had no money, but he went to Memphis, and he was brave enough to hitchhike. I don't know how safe hitchhiking was at the time.
No, it was.
But, at least hitchhiking today is completely, it could be very dangerous. So I'm assuming back then it was kind of dangerous as well. But was very impressive that he immediately, as soon as he went on the radio, he started to perform weekly, which is crazy because radio was a new thing at the time. So obviously if they wanted him to perform weekly, he was clearly doing good. And at such a young age.
Right.
Yes. And so, in the beginning of the 50s,
radio
he secured
was invented in the 1890s. So it's not that.
Yeah.
New.
Well, it's still like new. It's relatively new. It wasn't made mainstream yet. Like today, radio is kind of mainstream. Back then, radio was not mainstream. In the 1930s, even 1940s, it wasn't that mainstream.
All right, this is true. Good point.
Okay, but anyway, in the beginning of the 50s, he secured a record with Modern Records. The song that took off his career was 3 O'Clock Blues, which gave him national popularity, which allowed him to tour nationwide. In 1956, B.B. King, along with his band, played 342 one-night stands across the country.
Dang.
And in the following years, he moved from the Chitlin Circuit in the South to a variety of other different venues. That's a crazy number, especially only in 1956 to single-handedly do 342 one-night, playing venues in 342 different places.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy. So
to anyone there, so not many people know what the Chitlin Circuit was. I didn't know it at first. So the Chitlin Circuit was a bunch of places where African Americans were able to play music freely, and it was just a bunch of mini carnivals where people could play, African Americans could play music and gather there freely. And because, during the racist times of, the 1950s, that was really important. But then what's really important, what's really, admirable is that he moved on to theaters that, white people attended. Because
it's not just that. It's just the fact that he diversified his audience. So
yeah.
He wasn't just, he didn't really, at least in his eyes, he probably didn't really care as long as people were enjoying his music. And he kind of probably realized that after performing in that circuit for a while, and he wanted to branch out. And he felt he was popular enough to branch out.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. I think, no, he probably got an invitation to the Apollo. Like, he doesn't just show up, he gets invitations. And that's just crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so even though he was successful at creating music in the blues community, he did not receive the same respect as other blues musicians, probably because it was more like rock than blues. But in the late 60s, King has become to receive more mainstream, has gained more mainstream attention due to famous rock and roll Eric Clapton and Buddy Guy, citing that he was their musical influence. In 1966, B.B. King gained success for his signature hit, The Thrill Is Gone. He also received success on the popular charts.
So, just to clarify that. So, he wasn't, even though he was good at creating music, he was not, I guess you could say, as popular or as respected other blues musicians. And I'm assuming at the time, it was mostly maybe due to him playing, I guess, the blues maybe differently, or you know, in the sense that it's like it could have been like there's an expression too ahead of time, where maybe he was playing the type of blues that people weren't familiar with yet, and as time went on, people became more familiar with that. So it kind of just gives you a hearing on just the fact that he could have been more sophisticated and ready to take on new challenges.
Well, I mean, I think it's, I mentioned this earlier when I was reading the fact, but I think it's more the fact that he played more, so blues, like jazz blues, can get easily transitioned into rock if you play it a certain way. And I think that's just what B.B. King did. He played jazz in a certain way that's transitioning more into rock. And and because he's like getting off topic, he's pioneering new kind of music. It's just not respected. People like the same things, and he's trying to do something different. And yeah, people just weren't really ready until they were ready, and then that just blew him up even more. But yeah,
yes.
He also began to start playing at white theaters such as Fillmore East in 1960.
Cool, because that means he's kind of showing that he can make the rounds in both races, really. Like, people are going to follow him whether he's white or black, it doesn't matter. People just like him for the music. And I think that's something we've talked about before, but I think that's a cool theme that he's kind of getting fans from both sides of the spectrum there.
Yeah, he's unifying his audience, basically.
Right,
like
exactly.
One.
In 69, he made his first appearance on The Tonight Show, and a couple years later, he performed on the world-famous Ed Sullivan Show, and then he went all over Europe, and he went to lots of cities, including, places in Europe and the Soviet Union also. So he was really starting to become an international star, and he established his own unique way of playing, inspired by a lot of musicians, including T-Bone Walker, Blind Lemon Jefferson, that's an awesome name, and Lonnie Johnson. So he was very unique, but at the same time, just like all musicians, he had his influences.
I just want to point out just really quickly how crazy it is that he played in the Soviet Union. I mean, that is the former Soviet Union, but still, it is impressive considering that, you know, it's Russia.
Considering that he's an African American and...
Well, yeah, and it's just impressive. It's just impressive that he was able to even leave, to go all over Europe. It's just crazy. So from the U.S., he went from Memphis all the way over Europe to where to make his music. It's crazy.
No, yeah. Just like Eddie Van Halen, he also had he created his own unique technique of playing the guitar by trilling the strings with a left-hand vibrato. And I don't really play guitar, but I know, Jacob, you do. So
yes.
Can you explain more about
that? So basically, in a sense, that's... Each guitar player could make something and call it whatever they do, I guess you could say. So they can, you can make a new scale, or you can play around with scales, and however you play is by yourself, I guess. It's made by yourself. However, by trilling the strings with the left hand vibrato, he was able to make a sort of unique sound. And also left hand vibrato, it's like another, you know, left handed guitarist, I would assume. So it's a little bit crazy, especially because he created his own technique, and at the time every guitar, like I said before, was new. So you really, like, everyone who was playing it could make something, and even now today everyone who plays it can make a new technique. It's really just about how good your technique is, and clearly it was good. It was really good because it inspired, you know, people like Eric Clapton and Buddy Guy, you know.
Yeah.
So clearly his techniques in music and in guitar were very prominent, I guess you can say, and a lot of famous rock and roll artists even liked it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he had songs such as Rock Me Baby, Nobody Loves Me But My Mother, and How Blue Can You Get, which became very popular. He became popular with fans as B.B. King became a spectacular performer. He was inducted into the Blues Hall of Fame in 1984, and it was inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1987.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, that's actually really cool because I don't think we've had like I honestly before this have not heard of the Blues Hall of Fame. I think most people only pay attention to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but yeah, you know, right. sometimes you need to give attention to, you know, different other types genres. Of Halls of Fame, obviously. So it's just amazing that he was inducted into two different. It really just shows how he put the blues into rock. You know what I mean? Like, it really just shows that they noticed that. They knew that it was blues. And the rock community admired his new, innovative intent to bring rock and blues together. So it was you know, they both recognized it, which is really cool. Because
that I think it's interesting, Kobe, because, you know, all the time we see artists today, you know, they'll do rap, and then they'll go over to rock, and then they'll go over to pop, and then they'll go over to something else, and they just try to be as versatile as they can. And sometimes it works and sometimes it's a total flop. But yes. In the case of B.B. King, I mean, obviously you move from one side of the music genre to another genre, and it's like the same level of success, which is, I think, really cool because it doesn't always happen that way. Obviously, he was very influential and was in the Hall of Fame as a result of it. But it just shows you how talented he is, because not everybody can get to that level and be so important in two different areas of music.
100%, I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so anyway, Jordy, you want to go? Okay. Sure, anyway, I'll just go.
Go ahead.
He also received the NARIS Lifetime Achievement Award in 1987, and received many Grammy awards throughout his career.
Yeah.
Also, he has been presented with the honorary degrees from Yale and Berklee College for Music and more. That's in the 1990s, incredible. He received the Presidential Medal of Arts. Crazy. In 91, he was awarded the National Award of Distinction. And in 95, he received the prestigious Kennedy Honor from President Clinton.
That's
crazy. Okay, very honorable.
Bill Clinton, right? Not Hillary Clinton.
No, yes.
No,
President
really?
Bill Clinton. But it really impressive. Still really impressive. I mean, just the fact that he also got degrees from Yale and Berklee College for music, very cool.
Honorary degree. That's, I don't know how, like, I think it just shows that he was an influence.
He was,
I don't think
no, that means he was
school.
Honored.
No. He was honored, but it right. just shows that the school paid, like, the school.
Those are really
liked
good
his
schools.
Music, I guess you could say.
Those are crazy
and
schools.
And they're really good, especially the Yale and Berklee Music
no,
College.
No, the Berklee College for Music is crazy.
I think it's like the best music college in the country, I think.
It's I don't
I
think
would possibly
I'm not
say
sure
so.
It's the best.
It's up there though.
Yeah,
it's definitely up there. It's one of the most prominent ones.
All right, anyway, just to finish this off, in the early 1990s, B.B. King opened the B.B. King Blues Club in Memphis, and there's another one in Los Angeles and another one in Times Square in New York City. So, it just shows that not only does he do a lot as a musician, but then he started to give other people opportunities by opening up places for people to play. He opened up two more clubs in the Foxwood Casino in 2002, and he opened up another one in 2003 in Tennessee, in Nashville. And so that was really how he spent the end of his life, I guess, just doing more of the business side of music.
Yep.
Until, unfortunately, 5 years ago, May 14th, 2015, he passed away due to heart failure. So that was the end for him. But the end of his life, as I said, he moved away from the actual performing and the songwriting, I think, into the more business side. But still a remarkable life from the beginning, and he really did accomplish a lot in the time he was here.
Yes, his really legacy definitely lives on, because first through his businesses, they're I'm sure still prominent today. I mean, even not really, you know, like they are businesses, but they're like more like clubs where people can play, you know. And
he lived a long life too. He was really he was born in 25, so 90 years old just about.
Yeah. So that's he lived a long life. He was very influential. He inspired many people, and including myself, like musicians. He inspired many musicians, and which is, you know, very good. That's how someone lives on, through their techniques and everything. And I definitely don't think he'll be forgotten. Anyway, I want to thank one of our fans for suggesting B.B. King, Rena Sutton.
If you have any... if you want to suggest anything, you can always email us for any business inquiries, like you want to partner with us at themusicthatmadeamerica@gmail.com, or you can DM us on our Instagram, themusicthatmadeamerica, as well as...
Very fancy word, Jordy. Business inquiries. Good job.
That's two words.
I mean, yeah, it's very, very good phrase.
Educated.
Educated boy.
Yes.
Very, very educated.
Online school doesn't stop my education.
Did you get an honorary degree from Yale?
Nah, but I got one from Berklee College for music.
That means that Berklee College just went down from being prominent.
Oh, well. Anyways, so yeah, I think we're going to wrap this one up. Check us out on Spotify, Apple Music, Anchor, wherever you like to listen to your podcasts, or Google Podcasts, any mainstream podcasting network. Do you guys have any closing remarks?
Happy Thanksgiving! We said it in the beginning, but I'll say it again.
100% happy Thanksgiving. Make sure you get out there on Black Friday and purchase whatever you want, because we'd like
or to stay home and don't get the virus. But either
way. Purchase stuff online. I mean,
yeah,
that's Cyber Monday.
Best Buy, eBay, Amazon. We're not sponsored by any of those
guys.
Anyway,
we are but we are sponsored by Anchor.
Yes, Anchor Podcast. Woo!
Now we played in the beginning. So guys, peace. Bye.